Welcome back, everybody, to the Great Scott Podcast. On today's episode, Michael interviews American figure skater and Olympic gold medalist Scott Hamilton. Scott talks about his career, his faith, and what he's been up to lately.
How's it going, Scott?
It's going. Living in strange times, that's for sure.
How's your last month or so been? Have you been surviving it?
I'm like Mr. Find a silver lining in every situation, kind of person. So, we just use this time to really shore up as a family and create new daily traditions and all kinds of things. So it's been really kind of great and powerful and awesome. And, it's been terrific. That's just in our home. But I look around and I see what's happening everywhere in the world, and my heart is just shattered. It's just awful. But, we've really done our part to be a part of the solution and not the problem. And we've social distanced and we've, pretty much, just stayed home. It's been pretty crazy.
So what has life been after the Olympics? Has it been a little bit more calm, would you say?
You mean which one? I mean, I've been to, 11? Since Pyeongchang, it's been really kind of nice. I've been going to the Nationals the last 2 years, and I haven't really been busy with that or anything, and I've just been, available to serve in any capacity and participate however I'm needed, So it's a different season in my life, When I was in my 20s, obviously, I was competing at the Olympics. When I was in my late 20s, early 30s, I started doing broadcasting at the Olympics. And then, it's been really powerful to see how skating has been such a mainstay in my life. But at the same time, I've been able to utilize it and serve it in a different capacity.
Now, do you miss those days? Do you miss the competition and the competing?
I miss being 20. I miss 25. But I toured for 20 years, And so I look at that and I go, I didn't miss anything. I really feel like I got the most I possibly could out of my skating. And I'm really honestly grateful for all of it. It's like there's this old Hagar the Horrible comic strip that I collected. I'm going to find it. I know because I'm going through my garage while it's time off. But it's this great comic. It's he and his little sidekick. And you can see the sweat beads coming off their heads, and they're obviously working really hard. And the next frame over, you see them with this bag of loot. And I'm not saying, I'm not talking about riches or anything else. I'm talking about the experiences, right? But they say, wow, 6 cities in 7 days, never again, right? And they're carrying all this bounty. And I think about, that's how I feel about what skating has given me. I feel like it's not, wealth or anything like that. I'm talking about the ability to be able to have such a long-lasting, rich experience in being able to perform different places and for different people and in every city across North America and different cities in the world. And everything about my life is so unlikely that would happen, that I really feel an incredible sense of gratitude, for all of it.
So let me ask you, is it weird maybe like when you go into the grocery store and you find your picture on a Wheaties box?
What's weird is that exposure and that familiarity happened consistently for a very long period of time. And it's like, I've been familiar to many people. And so I don't know. It's not like it's an ego thing, but it's just sort of, I've become so accustomed to meeting people that I've never met before that knew me, that it's a very comfortable interaction. It's not something that I feel, you know, sometimes when there's an odd mention on a game show or on a television show, it's like, oh, wow, that's weird. Or when I had the pleasure and the honor of meeting Dolly Parton recently. And it was just so sweet. I was such a, you know, just like, she's such an icon. And my wife, grew up with her music and such a huge fan. And I've always adored her. And we took a picture with her. And then afterwards, she sort of pulled me aside and she said, how's your health? And I was like, oh my goodness. She knows who I am. Are you kidding me?
It's like,
so surreal. But I don't know. I think, for whatever reasons, I've been able to experience things and touch people in unique ways. I hope that, I'm able to justify that at some point in my life to know that maybe, some really powerful good came of it, you know?
I think it definitely did. I mean, I think you see the evidence of it. And speaking of your health, as she was asking about, I know you're also a cancer survivor, not once, but twice. How are you feeling these days?
Well, I mean, I've had the childhood illness that lasted for 4 years, the cancer 97, and then I'm on my third brain tumor.
Oh.
But, it's good. I mean, all of it is, it's all a choice. Right? It's all a decision of how am I going to respond to this? It's like anytime any challenge is put in front of you, it's like, okay, now it's up to me to respond in a way that allows for this to be a good experience. Or like, example, when I went through my cancer, I had these 8-hour infusions 5 days a week, and 16 days off, and 8-hour infusions 5 days a week, 16 days off. And that was the pattern. There was a decision made back then that, I was afraid for, I don't know how long, 5 minutes, 5 seconds, I don't even know. But that fear was replaced with a sense of determination and power and mission. And then I wouldn't allow anyone in my hospital room unless they made me laugh. And I think in my own way, I wanted to look back on that period of chemo and all that uncertainty and everything with a sense of laughter and levity and joy.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I look back on those days now and I can remember, those days were challenging, but I remember the laughter and I remember the skinhead wigs and the Beaglepuss glasses and the whoopee cushions and the funny movies and the jokes and my nurse, decorating my chemo bags with Snoopy stickers. I remember all of that more than I remember how I felt, that's what I remember. I knew that I didn't like, a lot of it and some of it made me feel really ill, but I remember the laughter more than I remember the other parts. And pretty much, the same goes with the brain tumors. Each one has been met with a different set of emotions. And I kind of came to this premise of understanding that, our bodies are phenomenally fragile.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very vulnerable to a lot of things. We can see that now. A tiny little invisible virus has stopped the world in its tracks, right? But our bodies can also be incredibly resilient. But ultimately, they're temporary, So I look at that and it's like, okay, I've got days on this planet, days in this existence, days in this body, days with this identity.
Absolutely.
How am I going to live those days? How am I going to show gratitude, and how am I going to show, opportunity, and how am I going to use each one of my days to, like, I don't know, just to live it gratefully and faith and enjoy. How do I do that? And you know, it's kind of my living mantra now is to live your days. Just live your days and enjoy them and find joy in every part of it and find optimism everywhere you can and find those people that you can surround yourself with that are going to tap into that and also inspire it and you know, stoke it, you know. So that's been kind of my mindset is no matter what knocks me down, and I'm a skater, so I've fallen down probably over 41,000 times.
Ooh.
You know, it's like, how do you build that muscle to get back up? And once you do, you know, you look at life differently. You look at failure differently. You look at criticism differently. You look at physical challenge differently, you know? And so I look at my life, you know, and there's been ups, there's been downs, but I look at the downs as being springboards for the next incredible height that I'll reach.
Let me ask you this. I mean, you are a man of faith in Jesus Christ, and as am I, sir. Do you feel like that you had to go through these cancer and these battles to get to be the man that you are today?
I mean, it's part of it. It's, you know, it's you know, what's vegetable soup without carrots? You know, it's like, you know, I don't know. I think throughout, I realized more and more, even before I practiced my faith, that God was always there.
Yeah.
That Jesus was always there, that there was always an angel protecting me, fortifying me, giving me strength when I needed it most, you know. So I don't, you know, I don't look at it as so much the awakening in a moment. It's more like a recognition that God has always been there and he's always been on my side and he's always been there to fortify me, bless me, protect me in times when I needed it most.
Absolutely. Absolutely. God is for you, as you can tell.
Yeah, always.
Absolutely. So, so Scott, you have something that you're doing actually on Saturday as a benefit for the COVID-19. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Oh, it's open ice. Yeah, we're doing a thing. Caitlin Weaver is an ice dancer, and she's wonderful and beautiful and amazing and talented. And she reached out and said, we're doing this this webcast, and we'd love you to be a part of it. And it's like, okay. You know, we did one in the U.S. It was called Blades for the Brave, and that went to AmeriCare's COVID-19 relief fund. And this is, I think it's to feed the hungry that are going through this illness and to fortify their health and well-being as best as we can. But we got to do something, you know. And the skating community is truly a community that loves to bless the greater community, right? So, you know, skaters have always had really strong hearts, and they've always wanted to make a difference using their skills, talents, notoriety, whatever, to, you know, bless those that really need blessing. So this is another extension of that. It's a kind of a Canadian version with lots of American skaters in it and Canadian skaters. And I'm looking at the group of skaters that are doing it, it's pretty remarkable that, you know, Caitlin's been able to rally the troops in a really cool way. So I'm proud to be a part of it. And I'm really happy to serve in the best way that I can, especially those that really need that help.
Who are some of the other skaters that are going to be participating on Saturday?
Like, name one. I mean, that's how big it is. It's like, Michelle Kwan, Brian Boitano, Kurt Browning. It's pretty much every skater in the world. You know, I Elvis Stoico. I'm just trying to think of some of the names. Ashley Wagner. I mean, it's like everybody. You know, it's really amazing to see, you know, how she's brought together this incredible group to, make a difference in the world. And it's pretty awesome.
So as I had mentioned earlier in the broadcast at the beginning, Scott, you are also a author, and I think that you've kind of given
break it up a little bit. Sorry, there you are.
Yeah. So can you hear me now, Scott?
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay. There we go. So as I had mentioned up at the beginning here, I mentioned that you are a author, and I think you might have given us a little bit of a snippet about what your book, or what's in the book, rather, called Finish First.
Oh, man, I am so sorry. I don't know why I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I don't know why I can't hear you. I can hear you now, but then it goes away. Sorry, I'm so sorry about that.
Oh, no worries, no worries.
The worst thing that can happen during one of these, right?
I know. But
hopefully you can edit that part out. That would be good.
Absolutely. So as I was saying, I mean,
it happened again. Oh no!
I will try, no. Scott.
It's happening again.
Let me try. Again. Let me try this one more time.
Okay.
All right. Can you hear me now, Scott?
I can.
Okay. So you are a author as well, and I think you might have given us a little bit of a snippet about what we can find in the book, the Finish First book. Is that pretty much your autobiography?
No, as a matter of fact, I did an autobiography right after cancer in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then I did another book called The Great Eight, which is kind of a self-help book. And then I did Finish First, which is really just sort of recognizing all of the things that I learned in my, you know, kind of journey from being a dedicated habitual loser to, you know, finding my way to the top of, you know, kind of each podium. So it's sort of a book about how to, you know, make goals, reach goals, allow dreams to come true through a dedicated participation. It's about not only just showing up every day, but showing up every day with an intention of getting better. It's about, it talks about committing the long haul, and, you know, failure is really just information, and editing your critics. And it's about how to inject a little bit of a competitive mindset into your everyday lives in order for you to really reach your goals. And it's been really widely received and well received by people that I never imagined would be interested in a book like this. I get, you know, it was meant for young people, millennials, who've kind of lost their way. And then, you know, I thought, oh, maybe some young skaters will like it and kind of learn from what I learned. And then I thought, well, maybe also maybe people in academia will get, you know, that competitive mindset going. And it's really wild that, you know, musicians, songwriters, elderly, people that were retired that still know that there's breath in their lungs.
Yeah.
And that they'll be able to, you know, they can find a way to, you know, to kind of compete and to get in there and to, you know, to kind of awaken that desire to, like, do something with their days. You know, it's like, as I say, live your days, right? What are you going to do to live your days? Well, it's that. It's like taking everything that you are, who you are, finding your kind of your purpose through, you know, kind of going through your list of assets and what you're naturally drawn to expose what you really should be going after, right?
Right.
And so it's really found a really broad audience. It's a pep talk. It's a guide to a better life. It's really a lot of really cool things, and I'm just so proud of the final product, and I'm glad it's getting into the hands that could use it the best.
So after skating, it seems like that you've taken up another sport. You are also an avid golfer. Are you pretty good at the golf?
You know, when I was single, I was able to get it down to about a 6 handicap.
Oh.
but that was as good as I ever got. Now, it's like, oh my word. I've got 4 kids. I'm like an Uber driver. I'm a chef. I'm a homework Nazi. It's like it's crazy that my days are so full just looking after my 4 kids and helping out my wife that it's like, oh my goodness. I can't get on the golf course.
Yeah.
Now, you know, that we're, you know, kind of a quarantine situation, it's like, you know, there are friends that are going out and they're golfing and they're playing 9 holes and they're social distancing and everything else. But with my, as I stated before, my unique hobby of collecting life-threatening illness, I am really very specific about the times that I venture out.
Yeah.
And how I do it. And, I just do my best to really, again, not be exposed to it. And at the same time, not, if I am exposed ever, to not be a part of the problem. This virus is so squirrely and bizarre, so contagious. People are not symptomatic and they're spreading it like crazy. It's like, I don't want to be that person that spreads this thing and all of a sudden, you know, due to my exposing somebody, now they've lost a loved one. I that's kind of the way I think. And I just, oh man, I just worry about it all the time. And so I've really been very specific about staying home. Right now I'm doing a little errand for my wife, but I'm by myself. I'm not getting close to anyone. It's like, this is rare. I'm home.
You are.
I'm staying there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to wait for the green light go. And then I will venture out and interact with people. It's like my assistant who works for me, she lives alone. And I feel badly that as much as my house is chaos, she's by herself. And that's hard and unnatural. And for all the people that are out there that are, that are social distancing by staying home by themselves, my heart just shattered for them, because it's not the way we're supposed to live.
Right.
But we've got to do our part and get this thing behind us as best we possibly can.
So, Scott, I have one more question for you, sir, and you've been absolutely more than generous. And you've been more than generous with your time, sir, and I definitely do appreciate you coming on. What advice would you give someone who wants to go into, like, the Olympics? What do you normally tell people who have those aspirations?
It's one of those things where I'll have a parent come up to me with their young child, whether they're in swimming or gymnastics or figure skating, and they'll introduce me because they're really, of course, the little ones have no idea, right, of anything about me or anything. And they'll come up and the dad will say, oh, son, Mr. Scott went to the Olympics and, he can tell you. I know you have, there's a 5 or 6-year-old has a dream of going to the Olympics. And it's really funny. They go, can you tell my son how they can go to the Olympics? And I go, absolutely. It's really simple. And the parent looks at me like, what? And I go, you just have to be willing to commit at a higher level than everyone else. And the parent goes, that's not what I really wanted to hear. but I learned that that's pretty much the case, that if you have that burning desire and, it, there's a lot to it. It's, Are you the, like, if I wanted to be on the Olympic basketball team, it's not going to happen. It's just not.
Yeah.
If I wanted to be on the Olympic swimming team, I'm not tall enough. I don't have the right build or reach. It's not going to happen. So a lot of it is taking your physical identity, your physical makeup, and to saying, what can I apply that to in order to be successful in skating? And I was really lucky, or successful in any sport, right? So I was really lucky that in my childhood illness, I didn't grow for like 4 years. And even though I'm smaller than most skaters, my build was absolutely perfect for what I was doing. And it was like, okay, so I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not a million things, but I am in the right makeup, in the right description to be in gymnastics or figure skating or some level of dance or, you know, whatever individual thing I could do. Even there's not many golfers my size, but there are some that really crush the ball. You know, you look at Mike Weir's a little taller than me. I look at he's on the senior tour now and he's crushing it. I can't think of his name, but again, small guy.
Yeah.
Corey Pavin won the U.S. Open, not a tall man. So, you know, there are things like that you can do. But generally, you know, if you have the right body type and you have the right attitude, and if you like really look at like, okay, I'm going to commit at a higher level than my competitors, man, good things are going to happen. And so that's why I tell, you know, young people that say, how do I go to the Olympics? Be willing to commit at a higher level than anyone else.
And it seems like to me, and Scott, it also seems like to me that a lot of these Olympians are getting younger and younger, because you see ones that are like 12, 13, 14 years old.
Well, I mean, in figure skating, you have to be 16 to go to the World Championships and the Olympic Games, right? So there's our national champion, our two-time national champion right now is 14 years old. She won her first nationals when she was 13 with, I think she did four triple axels in two programs, and now she's got a quad lut. So she doesn't age qualify for the Olympics or the world, but she'll be old enough for the next Olympics. And so it'll be really interesting to see how she fares against a lot of the Russian girls now that are just really just, you know, locked up the sport. But 16 years old. Sarah Lipinski was 16 years old. Alina Zagitova, 16 years old. You know, so you look and it's like, wow, these they're getting younger and younger. And a lot of it is the rule changes. A lot of it is body type. And, you know, it just, it's harder to do some of these things with a mature body than it is when you're younger and you haven't fully developed. So there's that. But yeah, I mean, it's younger and younger, better and better. And, you know, tomorrow, what I'm doing with you right now, Nathan Chen will be doing with me in a webinar tomorrow. So I'm really excited to talk to him about his life and career. And again, unbeatable.
Yeah,
this guy is unbeatable right now. The only one that can beat him is him. That's it. If he, you know, has a rough patch of ice or hits a hole or has a bad night, that's the only way anyone's going to beat him, because when he's on his game, he's unbeatable. And, you know, and again, at a very young age. So it's exciting to see that youth is not wasted on the young.
Absolutely.
And to, you know, kind of celebrate this fresh air that's coming into our sport, and to applaud their efforts and their excellence and their ability to compete at a high level at a very young age. I love it.
Well, Scott Hamilton, this podcast is called The Great Scott, and I would say that about you, sir. I really would.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, thank you so much. And I'm just so blessed and honored to have had this conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I wish you the best of the best of the best with this podcast. I hope you get a lot of listeners and participants, and I really enjoyed my time with you today.
Oh,
thank
same
you
here.
So much.
God bless you, Scott, and good luck with the thing on Saturday. We will definitely be watching.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you for listening, everyone. If you like what you heard today, like our Great Scott Podcast Facebook page for more information on upcoming podcasts.